Friday. It's that time again, and welcome everybody this evening to our midweek prayer meeting service. How's everybody doing tonight? All right. I was going to say, we got a couple greats, got a blessed. We're doing good then. We're doing good. So good to be here tonight, and good to see everybody. And again, I hope you've had a good week this week. Let me grab a bulletin right here. Hope everybody's been staying out of trouble. Not too sure about that, but got to keep it interesting. Yeah, Ms. Glenda went like this. So got to keep it interesting for sure. But anyway, we're just thankful that the rain has kind of calmed down a little bit so that we could all arrive dry. But, of course, we need the rain, and the Lord knows what he's doing there. And weatherman did say that we're looking at a really, really nice Memorial Day weekend. So who could argue with that? let me go ahead and get into things. Just jump right in tonight. Let's please pray for the folks down in Texas, over in Texas. And the last I heard, I believe it was 19 children. 21. Mm. And I heard this morning that a couple teachers tried to, you know, jump in front of the kids, and they literally gave their life for their students. And it's just couldn't imagine. I seen pictures of parents arriving at the school, getting the news of their children that got killed by that armed gunman. And it's just a terrible, terrible thing. I'm not even going there in my mind, you know, receiving a phone call such as that. It's just, don't really know what to say about it. Speechless. You know, the young man, he, from what I heard, he shot and killed his grandmother, went on down to the schoolhouse, and just started shooting. I believe the police officers actually shot and killed him. And you know, it's terrible. They may have had a chance, if he was alive, to at least give some kind of explanation. There is no explanation sufficient enough. But you know, now there's nothing. There's no kind of feedback at all, you know, from that young man. And, of course, there was nothing he could say that would help or tie up any loose ends to this case. But just pure evil, pure devil, and manifested. And it's a scary thing. It really is, because we're living during a time where this is getting worse and worse. Unfortunately, it's not getting better and better. You know, God's not going to usher in a utopia here on earth, and he's not going to call it heaven, but when we leave this world, we will go to that, to heaven, that place of utopia. And so but between now and then, it is survival to the fullest, and protect yourself, think. And Lily, she sometimes thinks I'm overboard with this stuff, you know, parking close to the store, and, you know, try not to go out, you know, in town, you know, at night. Don't let the girls do that. You know, just all these precautions. Yeah. Yes. Well, we hope so. But I just try to be very dogmatic about things, you know. And 9 times out of 10, nothing happens. But there's that one chance, Brother David, like you tell me. There's that one time. And lo and behold, the time I lower my guard, that's the time that it happened. But let's remember them tonight in our prayers. And of course, this coming up Saturday at 2 o'clock is Brother Ed Sanvey's memorial service here at the church. And we about got all that planned out and order service ready to go. And so it's going to be a good time. I did talk with Miss Marianne, and she wanted me to convey to everyone, if you're going to be here, she wants you to eat. The church is providing a meal afterwards. And so I told her I'd just give that out there to our people. And so she wants those that are coming to eat. And so if you're planning on coming and you're okay with that, you know, eating. I know some still aren't that comfortable eating in groups like that. But life carries on, doesn't it? Life carries on. So remember that. The church is making a meal for the family. So remember that, 2 o'clock on this coming up Saturday. And that'll be good. Remember our children's home in your prayers. We were over there last night. Brother Michael, one who graduated on Sunday. Brother Michael Mitchell, they had him a little birthday party. And Mike Baker over there, boy, he had that grill fired up. And there were smoke clouds and chicken. And Brother Brian made a jambalaya with shrimp and sausage and rice. It was good. It was so good that I got full real quick, and I couldn't even finish my plate, believe it or not. But it was a great time at the home yesterday. Brother Snyder was there, was able to talk with him a little bit. So remember Brother Michael, who graduated, and his next steps. All right, I'm just going to call off these names on our prayer list, and then I'll toss it back to you if you have a request, a praise, or update. Let's remember CC and Chuck Prestridge, the passing of her mother. Michael and Shauna Bendy, they're at home tonight. Miss Shauna not feeling well. Randy and Diane Ely. Bobby and Nancy McClendon. Miss Connie Teague, Helen Bennett, David and Glenda Henderson, Ruby Harper, Harold Dolph, Leonard and Dolores Palmer, James and Shirley Townsend. Miss Shirley said, I believe it was on Sunday, it may have been a text I got from her. I really can't tell you. But Brother James has been struggling with his walking, and she says that he pretty much got better, but they're going to have a doctor's visit to make sure everything's okay. But remember Brother James in your prayers. And Miss Shirley, Johnny and Pat Eccles, Mary Kelly, Don Daly, Rusty and Chris Watkins, of course, Randy and Janet Bailey, Don and Carla Rich, Claudia Darby, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Gerald and Francis Carroll, Melissa Slagle, James Tolan Brown, Peyton Cochran, and Kevin Brook. And of course, all of our shut-ins, and I'll just remember them in prayer tonight. Anybody have an update, a request, a praise? I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to shed this coat. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's remember this request tonight. Anyone else? Dolores. Dorothy. I had the D right. Let's remember this request tonight. Anyone else? I was wondering where they were at.
Somebody did a hit and run.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that, bro. Yeah, they're real good about, you know, letting us know if they're not going to be here, especially because, you know, Brother Jeff plays a guitar for us now. Praise the Lord, they're fine. Anyone else? Yes. Good. Yeah. Thank you for that update. Glad he's doing good. Anyone else? All right. Well, again, we're just glad to be here. And I just want to praise the Lord for our Youth Sunday we had last Sunday. Sunday morning and Sunday night. The message Sunday morning was just what the doctor ordered, a tremendous message. And then, of course, all the singing. And then Sunday night, Brother CJ, it's a different feeling in here when the youth have the service. It's more youthful. And but what a blessing it was. And I want to praise the Lord for what he did last Sunday. I talked with Brother Brian, Miss Darlene earlier in the week, or maybe it was at the end of last week. Anyway, they were asking about going to take the kids tonight, do something different. So we okayed that. They were going to take the kids, our young people, to the movie theater. And see a certain movie, of course, family friendly and all that. And so I said, you know what? I said, that'd be pretty good, actually. Because, you know, just doing the same thing over and over and over, especially a young person, you know, over and over and over, there's really no expectation there. And so I said, this might just, you know, stir the pot in a good way in the youth department. So let's remember them while they're away tonight. Miss Christie's downstairs. I believe Zoe's down there, isn't she? Little Zoe and I think another one, our brother. Yeah, Kyrie. So let's remember them. All right. Anything else? Well, let's have a time of prayer together. You know how that works. You can come down or stay put right where you're at. Or come down front, but we will pray tonight, and we may be through a little bit early, may not be. We'll just let the Lord have his way, and we'll bring the message in just a moment. failed to mention, just on accident, my mother-in-law, Christy's mom. She's going Friday morning to have a knee replacement. So if you'd remember her in prayer, that'd be great. She's a little nervous. I'd be a little nervous too. So just remember Miss Donna Gossett in your prayers. All right, tonight we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 for a few moments. We're going to mention some things here tonight that I hope will be a blessing to everybody. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I'm going to begin reading out of 2 Timothy 3 out of verse number 10. Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight. Lord, we're thankful for the things that you have done in all of our lives. And Lord, we're thankful for the things that you're doing now that maybe we can't even perceive. Maybe we just think that there's just a lot of struggling going on in life and a lot of pain. But help us know and understand that you are behind the scenes, Lord. And you're working and you're moving. You're lining things up. Help us trust in the unseen hand. Tonight, Lord, I pray that you'd bless your word. Holy Spirit, communicate it to the hearts of your people. Let us, by the time we leave tonight, be encouraged, challenged, and changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Notice what he says. Paul's speaking here, of course, to young Timothy. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Verse number 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, in that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's reading 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10 down through verse number 17, completing that chapter. And I want to start tonight by giving a little bit of background what Paul's dealing with here. And no doubt Paul is dealing with the last days. And let me just say, it's been the last days since Paul's day. In verse number 1, he talks about these perilous times. He says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Another word for perilous here is dangerous. Now, what did we just get through mentioning in our prayer request time about this shooter? Killing his grandmother, going into a school, 20-plus kids, teachers, shooting them all dead. That's dangerous stuff. That is a very perilous stuff. And while that's been going on, and murder, rape, all those things have been going on for years. But it just seems like it's getting worse. And it's getting worse. It's growing. It's maturing. And in so much that people are afraid to get out and pump their gas, that someone might steal their car. Now, he says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Look at verse number 2. He says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And it goes on and on down through there. Verse number 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And this is what we're looking at tonight. This is what not only Paul wrote in his day to Timothy, because Paul knew he wasn't going to be around forever. Timothy being a young pastor, and not only was Timothy a young pastor, but the scriptures give reference to Timothy possibly being a little timid. He has some timidity about himself. And so Paul really wanted to let him know that things are going to get rough, things are going to get bad, and it's going to continue to grow until the Lord Jesus comes. And then we get in verse number 10, our original verses that we read. In verse number 10 through the end of the chapter, verse number 17, basically what we have here is we have Paul's words for dangerous days. Paul's words for dangerous days. At least that's how the Lord spoke to me about it. And again, Paul, he is mentioning to Timothy some things he should know, some things to expect while the times move on and while things get more dangerous. And so tonight, that's what I want to do. I want to mention from these verses, if I could, just three things that Paul shares with Timothy. Three things that Paul shares with Timothy. Three different words that he uses for these dangerous days. And I think that we can apply these truths to our day. In verse number 10 and verse number 11, we see that Paul reminds Timothy of some things. Now, and notice in verse number 10, so he mentions all of these things, verse 1 down through verse number 9, dangerous times, lovers of their own selves, without natural affection, all of these ungodly things. And then in verse number 10, he says, but. He says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. And so what is Paul getting at? Why does he compare himself to those that had just mentioned? Those that had just mentioned were so coarse and so sinful. Well, Paul is mentioning himself as being genuine and real. And you know, one of the things about living in the day and times in which we live, that you'll come across people that are, they may have one way about them, and then the next minute they change, they're different. They may be one way in front of certain people, but then other people come around and they're just totally different. And so Paul is mentioning all of these different things about all of these people, how their behavior will be in the last days. And then he says, but, in verse number 10. It's almost like Paul is wanting Timothy to know that everything you learned from me, Timothy, everything that you've seen, it's real. You don't have to worry about, there doesn't have to be any kind of shadow of doubt. You'll get that from the world. You'll get deception from the world. You'll get sinfulness from the world. But Timothy, you didn't get that from me. So he says, but thou hast, number one, fully known my doctrine. Now we know that Paul is not claiming here that the gospel was his, meaning that he invented it or anything along those lines. But he says, my gospel, because the gospel was committed unto him to preach. And so he says, but Timothy, you've fully known my doctrine. You knew and you know the gospel that I preached. I didn't change. I'm not perfect, but I didn't change. I didn't stumble. I didn't walk away from like all of these others are walking away from. He says, you have fully known my doctrine. And so in a sense, we see that Paul wanted Timothy to know that he lived out a genuine life before him. And the gospel that he preached was genuine. It was a gospel that was true and genuine and real. And it was a gospel that was committed to Paul to be a preacher. And so we see that Paul is speaking to Timothy and trying to remind him of some things before Paul actually leaves this world. And it's just Timothy as the young pastor. Not only do we see in verse number 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. He says also manner of life. Manner of life. The phrase manner of life just simply means a life that is agreeable with his doctrine. He said, I didn't preach one thing and lived out another way. He said, what I preached, I lived. And again, Paul, he's talking about the world and how that there's these dangerous times coming, and there's all of these people of the world that live according to the world system that are different, they are deceiving. They are being deceived, they are sinful, and they're getting worse and worse. So he tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, I want to remind you that what you've seen in me was real. I don't know about you or not, but there's times in life where we go through hard times. There's dark times, there's trying times, and sometimes during those times, the devil gets on your shoulder and he whispers, why, you don't think all that Bible stuff is real. You don't really think God's behind the scenes working it all together for good. You know, you don't really think that, do you? The devil likes to do that. He likes to whisper in your ear these things and create doubt, make you disbelieve the scriptures and be a person that's double-minded. And so Paul is telling Timothy here, he says, you'll get that from the world. There'll be people who will turn their back on you, who will lie to you, who will be deceptive. There'll be people who say they're Christians, but they're not Christians. He says, but this man here, me, Paul, the aged, the gospel that I preached before you, I lived it out. There was no shadow of turning in my life. You knew my manner of life. I preached the gospel, but also lived a life that was agreeable to the gospel. And so at least in my estimation tonight, Paul is wanting Timothy to know his genuineness, wanting him to know that the man that Timothy followed was the real thing. Now notice something else. He says in verse number 10, after a manner of life, he says purpose. Purpose. He said, Paul, you knew my... He said, Timothy, you knew my purpose. I preached. I preached the gospel. I wasn't a materialistic person, Timothy. I wasn't a preacher one day, and then the next day, I was something else. He says, but I was the same. You knew my purpose. And that was important for Paul to mention that to Timothy, because Timothy has the same purpose. And so Paul is getting at the heart of Timothy, and he wants to mention to him his genuineness. He says, you knew... you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life. He says, I was the same. I preached the gospel. I lived the gospel. He says, you knew my purpose. That is a preacher of the gospel. I wasn't one after materialism or going after great gain. And then he says faith here. He says faith. Now, the word faith, I jotted this down today, and I think it pretty much describes what he's getting at. Faith. the faith that is embraced, professed, preached, and lived. That kind of faith. The faith that the whole makeup of the gospel system, the whole makeup of the Christian walk, the faith that is embraced, the faith that is professed, the faith that is preached, the faith that is lived. Paul said to Timothy, you've seen that in me. You've seen what I faced. You've seen the challenges that I was facing in my life. And you knew I didn't walk away. You knew I stood firm. And so Paul is this great example for Timothy. And he's wanting him to really get a strong, strong standing and to reflect back on the life that Paul lived so that Timothy can model himself after Paul. Now, he goes on from faith here, and he mentions long-suffering. He says long-suffering, charity, and patience. Some of these kind of go together. But long-suffering here. Long-suffering. Paul had infirmities. You know, Paul mentions that that he had a thorn in the flesh. And nobody really knows what it is outside of one place in Scripture. It may have to do with the eyes. He may have had some kind of eye problem. But he had infirmities. And he had problems. And he tells Timothy here, he says, you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, but you've seen my long suffering as well. And Timothy, there's going to be times in life where you're going to have to allow yourself to be stretched. You can't quit, Timothy. You know, Timothy, again, being a younger man, Paul felt the need to mention this about long suffering. I want to tell you what, you know, younger people, even people my age, sometimes they struggle with long suffering. Anybody struggles with long suffering, I'm sure. But really, younger people. They just don't want to wait. They don't want to do any suffering over a long period of time. Timothy, being a younger man, Paul felt the need to bring up this characteristic that he's seen in his life. He said, you have seen me suffer over long periods of time. He says, and then he mentions charity here. Charity basically is a word that means love in action. He says, Timothy, if you're going to pastor, you're going to have to be a man of action. He says, don't just say that you love the people. Don't just say that you love sinners. He says, but you're going to have to put it in action. You're going to have to put wheels on your love for people. And so he is literally bringing these things up to the mind of Timothy as these evil days are approaching. He mentions charity, but then again, there's another word for long-suffering, but it's the word patience. And patience here basically is the courage to stand, the courage to continue, the courage to forbear. Sometimes it's hard to be patient, isn't it? It's hard to wait on the Lord sometimes. It's hard to wait till things line up in life and pray and ask if it's God's will he allow it to come to pass? Make it so vivid that I can't miss it. Sometimes God calls us to seasons of waiting and being patient. And he tells Timothy, if I had to be patient, if I had to suffer with bodily elements and infirmities of the flesh, and Timothy, if I had to go through those things, and if God allowed me to go through seasons of waiting, you too will go through seasons of waiting where you're going to have to exercise patience. And so Paul mentions that in verse number 10. And so he reminds Timothy of some things. He says, times are going to get more tough, Timothy. They're going to get dangerous, and sin's going to abound, and the love of many is going to wax worse and worse, another place says in Scripture. He says, but you're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to be long-suffering. And you've seen me do it, so therefore, that is hope that you can do it. So Paul, again, he's this example tonight. Now, notice if you would in verse number 11, he continues the list of these things. He says in verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, and he goes on and he says, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. You remember what happened at Lystra? He was taken outside of the gates and he was stoned. They literally stoned Paul. Paul, being a preacher, not doing anything wrong, serving God, and he got stoned for it. But the Bible says that he got back up and he walked right back in those gates. And so Paul learned something about getting up even when stones were being cast at him. I'll tell you what, that's easy preaching, but hard living. How do you feel when someone gives you... Now, he's talking about literal stones here. People may cast stones verbally in our day. A little tongue lashing here and there. And listen, those things hurt too. The old saying goes, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That ain't true. Words got the power to tear down or build up. And so at any rate, Paul, he's talking about all of these places that he went to and the things that happened. He says, and at Lystra, I was dragged outside the city and stoned, but I knew that God had a call on my life, and I knew that he was behind the scenes somehow, some way, working all things together for good, and the Spirit of God enabled me to get up and go again. And Paul got up and went right back in that city. And again, please don't lose the background here. He's talking about dangerous days and how they're going to get bad. And he wanted Timothy to know what to do during those times. Verse 11 again, persecutions, afflictions. And then he mentions all of those places. And then he says, what precautions I endured. Another phrase of words that help describe that word endured means to bear from underneath. Kind of like you got this big stone. There's a picture I have on my laptop at home in the gallery. And it's a man trying to carry a big old stone up a hill, and a woman's behind him shaking her fist. You know, kind of like the husband-wife relationship. Anyway, Christy didn't think it was funny either. But I thought it was funny, so I kept it. And so it means to bear from underneath. It means to carry a heavy load. Anybody been carrying any heavy loads lately? Have you been through some stuff recently or in your life? Sure you have. We all have. But those times in life where, it literally feels like you are trying to carry a boulder every day. You know, sometimes people have breathing trouble and they'll say something like this: I just feel like there's an elephant sitting on my chest. You know, it just feels like something is weighing me down. And it may be, you know, it may not be stress related for everybody, but in a lot of cases it is. It's stress, it's anxiety, it's fears of tomorrow, it's concerns of the day. It just feels like there's an elephant on my chest. That's because we're trying to bear up underneath a heavy load that's not moving. Sometimes God allows the pressure to get so intense. And really, the problem happens and the pressure gets so intense is when, at least in my estimation, I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to get rid of that load. I'm trying to fight back and figure out why is this going on? Why is this taking place? Why is this thing so heavy? But the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. So Paul says to Timothy, he says, you see me. I endured some things. I didn't give up, Timothy, and I don't want you to give up. And everybody that's here tonight and those watching on Facebook, if we have any, you may be bearing a load that is heavy as an elephant. And you may be thinking about giving up, but my word of encouragement and challenge to you tonight is don't give up. Don't give up. Exchange whose hands is carrying the load. Give your load to Jesus tonight and allow him to carry your load. And sometimes it's so hard to get to that place where we're ready to give it to him. So we see that there. I endured. And then he says, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And so Paul is giving testimony and praise here that God is a deliverer. He's a deliverer. In one place, he says, he has delivered, is delivering, and will yet deliver me. And so Paul is trying to encourage this young man that the ministry is hard, but God will give you what you need to be successful in the ministry and even endure it sometimes if it calls for that. Now, and so we see number one tonight, Paul's words for dangerous days. We see that Paul reminds Timothy of some things. Verse number 10 and 11, he reminds Timothy of Paul's walk. Timothy, there's going to come a time when you're going to feel like giving up. There's going to come a time when you feel like there's no use. During those times, remember me. And hopefully that will allow a little bit of hope. All right, let me mention something else. Not only Paul reminds Timothy of some things, but in verse number 12, Paul is honest about some things. Verse number 12 and 13. Verse number 12, he says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. How about that? In other words, Timothy, if you're signing up to be a pastor, to be a Christian, if you accepted the Lord, Timothy, you're a Christian, but if you expect for there to be fairness in this world, then you're wrong. You're wrong. Timothy, if you expect the world to reward you for being godly, you're wrong, son. And the same is true tonight, that this world is not going to reward us for going to church. This world is not going to pat us on the back for teaching a Sunday school lesson. This world is not going to do any of those things for a Christian, because this world has its own system. We know tonight that this world is not our home. And so Paul says, be expecting times of persecution. The world is going in one direction, and Timothy, we're going in this direction. We are a fish going upstream against the current every single day of our life. So he says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He says, we're going to struggle. We're going to encounter trouble. There's going to be times where we're going to have to find our footing and really stand firm, although the world and its pressures are up against us. I can't remember. Well, I think it was, let me think a minute. I think it was 2002. Well, yep, 2002, I had a regular job. I guess about 10 years ago, I worked at Georgia Tech. Regular job, not a ministry job, a regular job. And I want to tell you, 2002 and even 10 years ago or less, working in the real workplace and being a Christian has its challenges. It's difficult. And I couldn't even imagine today how it is in the workplace. I mean, you know, you go to work and someone says a joke that is so left field and so against what you believe, everybody's laughing but you. They're going to find out why you ain't laughing. And they're going to begin to taunt. Talk about grown people even. Yes. Taunting. Yes. making fun of. You come in work one day, and for some reason, everybody's treating you mean and harsh. It's because you didn't laugh at that dirty joke, you see. And in the workplace, a lot of workplaces, it's that way. It's all business. It's all money. It's all, you know, whatever satisfies the flesh. And so we as believers are trying to live out our Christianity in this world. And sometimes it's difficult. It's difficult. We're going to have some kind of persecution. We may not get martyred. Even that's coming, I think, for too long. We may not get martyred. We may not lose our head, but we'll get some tongue lashings. You know, we'll be dropped by some friends probably, or not even make friends with some people because of our Christian stance. He's telling Timothy this. Basically, Timothy, there's going to be times where you're going to walk alone. And this world is going to be getting worse and worse and more evil and evil. And you're trying to do God's work, but you feel like you're standing alone because you're trying to be that example. You're trying to be that example God wants you to be. And so sometimes in the Christian journey, it does feel lonely. Sometimes it feels like we're walking alone. We know we're not walking alone. We know Jesus is with us. But the tangible thing, the touch, the feel, the smell, sometimes there's nobody but you because of our Bible convictions and what we believe and not wanting to go to the ways of the world. We decide we're going to stand over here. Sometimes it's a lonely place, but yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so Paul is just really, really, really trying to encourage this young man. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And then in verse number 13, he says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see, that's why Paul is laying his characteristics out so bluntly. He said, you've seen me. You know how I am. I'm not into deception. I'm not trying to deceive anybody. In this world, you're going to get that. But just remember who I was to you, and remember that there are still some genuine and real Christians out there. He says, but evil men, the words evil men can also mean hurtful men, bad-natured. Who is the book of Jude? Talks about natural brute beasts. People that are just mean and hateful. Has anybody in public ever been, or on the job, whatnot, ever been just mean, hateful, just evil? All the time. And it's getting worse and worse. There's people who make evil faces. But then there's those evil people, if you cut them off in traffic, listen now, the day and time which we live, you'll get shot and killed. Shot and killed. Christy used to, she got on to me long enough till I listened, I think. But I don't know what it was. It bothered me for a long time. The greater part of our marriage, only probably till about a year ago, I don't get tiffed. Somebody, you know, cuts me off or they're riding on my bumper and I can't do nothing about it. And they fly around me about running me over, and I got a daughter and a wife in the car. You know, I want to shake my fist and say, pull over there. Let's handle this like men. But you hear about these cases on the news where another case of road rage, one person dead. Another case of road rage. Christy says, you really need to stop doing that. And she wasn't saying it that quietly neither. I'm talking about, Justin Hales, you just need to stop doing it. You'll get us killed. And I used to say, I didn't say I didn't care. I just said, well, it just really bothers me how these people are driving. I guess I'm just a person who always tries to respect everybody. And, you know, when I'm disrespected, it just, in some cases, it bothers me. And so evil men, bad-natured, hurtful, look, we can't play around anymore in the day and time in which we live. Somebody cuts you off, somebody's mean or rude or just evil in public, let them be. Go the other way. It ain't worth it. They'll kill you. They'll pull out a knife. They'll do something. If anything else, it's bad, bad language. Seducers, deception, imposters. Everybody's a Christian, you know. Everybody you meet's a Christian. And then some of those same people that say they're Christians are at the bars, drinking and drugging. Just a lot of imposters. Just a lot of deception going on. And he said this thing is going to get this mixed bunch of evil people and seducers. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. He carries that out in verse number 13. And then, let me mention this, and we'll bring it to a close tonight. Again, Paul was being honest about some things in verse number 12 and 13. And then in verse number 14 down to verse 17, we're not going to do all these verses. I'm just going to give a summary. We see that Paul challenges Timothy with some things. Verse number 14, he says, but in spite of everything I just said, the dangerous days, in spite of the persecution that is here and it's going to get worse and worse, he says, continue. Continue, Timothy. You've seen me do it. I want you to do it. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Listen to this. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Timothy had a mother. Timothy had a grandmother that used to teach him in Sunday school, used to read him the scriptures when he was little. In fact, verse number 15 talks about that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And so back to verse number 14, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So he had a mother that taught him some things, some godly things, some scripture, of course, and a grandmother that did the same things day after day after day, teaching and guiding young Timothy, showing him some things, teaching him the scriptures. But then Paul he had. Then Paul. And so he says, in this old bad, corrupt world that is getting worse and worse and worse, Timothy, you have learned enough to get you through. And I'll just say tonight, I guarantee everybody in this room has been to church long enough, had a mom, a dad, a grandparent. You've been a Christian long enough, sitting under God's word long enough where you got enough to carry you through. You know what to do in any given situation. He said, Timothy, you have enough to get you through. You have enough to guide you through this life. You had a mother, a grandmother, and then me, Paul. He says, so therefore I want you to continue with the things that you've learned. Keep going. Although the world gets worse and worse, you keep going. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God, a child of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so what he's getting at is Paul is going on, he's going back to the Bible. He said, Timothy, you've been taught it by your mom, by your grandmother, by me. So from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. From a child, you've been raised the right way. He says, and this book is still, not only did it bid it mold and shape you then, he says, but verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Timothy, it will continue to instruct you. Sometimes when we read the Bible, we get convicted. Sometimes we get encouraged. Sometimes it's everything at one time. But what Paul is saying is the Bible will get us through. The things that we've learned will get us through. The Bible will get us through. Then verse number 17, that the man of God, person of God, may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so there's a direction that the Lord has taken us in as a good shepherd. He's wanting us to be more like him, look like him, act like him, talk like him. He wants us to be able to bear up under any condition like him, through him. And we have the Bible to go to for that instruction and for everything else that we need. And so we see that Paul leaves and finishes this chapter with a challenge, with just a challenge for Timothy. Tonight, that's the lesson, just simply Paul's words for dangerous days, of course, to young Timothy, but also is relevant to us tonight. That the Lord, he's our helper, and through the scriptures and the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll make it to the finish line. By foot or belly, we're going to finish. All right. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for who you are. And God, I tried to condense a lot of this so it could make sense. I hope it did. And Lord, I pray that if nothing else, in this crazy world that we're living in, Lord, help us to be cautious, but also let our light shine. Let our light shine. Lord, help us to be able to say like Paul said, Timothy, you know my manner of life. I preached it and lived it. Let that be said of us as well, that we not only shared it, but we lived it. So, Lord, we trust you for these dangerous days we're heading in. God, I pray that you keep everyone of Calvary safe, keep everyone of this world safe. And those that don't know you, I pray you bring them to you in salvation. We love you tonight and we praise you. Meet with us on this coming up Sunday in a very mighty way. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anything to mention before we dismiss? All right, well, everybody have a blessed evening and you are at liberty to go.